So we definitely have a few things to talk about today. For example, it looks like this whole quote-unquote meteor situation is a little bit bigger than what we're being led to believe. But before we get into any of that, who is bumping off dolphins in Florida? Yeah, this is weird. As most of you already know, I'm not a believer in big coincidences. Do coincidences exist? Sure, to a certain degree, but this story is coming out around the same time as this whole Gerald the Dolphin story, you know, the man that claimed he was taken by a group of dolphins to build this underwater city or structure, and the leader of this dolphin group was named Gerald. It was an odd story, especially given the fact that the police came out a day after the story went viral to debunk it by saying that it was their story. They made it up. Weird. But now news is coming out that deceased dolphins are washing ashore. Now, yes, it is not uncommon for deceased dolphins to wash ashore. It happens. No surprise there. Matter of fact, reading this article from the Florida Panhandle Marine Institute, they said they typically respond to 30 dolphin or whale strandings a year in Florida. Well, it has been reported that since the start of 2026 to now, March, along the Florida Panhandle, 42 dolphins have washed ashore, with more than half of them being found in just March alone, 22 deceased dolphins. So the entire amount of dolphins just found in March alone almost equaled up to the amount of dolphins they find every year. And let's not forget, that average total of 30 yearly also includes whales in that number as well. Now yes, dolphins are considered a whale, and whales are considered a type of dolphin, but the type of dolphins they are finding are specifically one type, which are the bottlenose dolphins. The same type that had supposedly taken the 33-year-old Florida man. So the question happens to be, what or who is bumping off these dolphins? Now, of the 42 dolphins found this year, only two were still found alive, but they were pronounced deceased a little bit later. Also, when the Institute discovers a deceased or stranded dolphin, like they've been finding them since the beginning of 2026, they'll quickly send them off for a necropsy to determine what caused the dolphin to pass away. Now, they've been collecting these samples since the beginning of this year, and as of right now, there are no answers. They say that sometimes results can take either weeks or months, but again, given the fact that they have been collecting them since the beginning of January, hopefully we'll hear something by now. But if there's something a little shadier going on, maybe they'll just go ahead and sweep this entire thing under the rug. If they were finding other sea creatures along with these dolphins being stranded, then I would say that something a little more natural is going on here. Maybe somebody is polluting the waters. But given the fact, and the article ends with, that the only cases have just been bottlenose dolphins, something a little more unusual is going on here, especially when you pair it with this Gerald the Dolphin story. This news article I've read from came out on March 19th, but there has been a more recent update as of yesterday where another bottlenose dolphin was found, and this would actually bring the total to now 44. Now, do I believe that dolphins are taking people and building cities under the water, and they're being taken out to make sure everything remains a secret? I mean, at the end of the day, I truly do not know what's going on, but I do find it really bizarre that it's just this one type of dolphin, no other creature, no other fish, nothing, is just washing ashore. I mean, there could indeed be a more logical answer, but we do live in very strange times, and this story really does fit in the day and age we live in. Like, for example, I find this whole quote-unquote meteor stuff to be a little bit more bizarre than dolphins building underwater cities. So yesterday on Minutes of Horror, I had spoken about how a meteor had popped up in San Jose, California on Sunday the 22nd. Well, yesterday at roughly 6:06 in the morning, who says roughly at 6:06? Why not just say roughly at 6 a.m.? A bright green fireball, a bright green meteor, was seen over Oregon. Take a look at this. This is wild. Something tells me that was no meteor, but it is what it is. We'll continue to play the game.
The meteor this morning, several people report seeing a bright green fireball around 6:06, according to Jim Todd at OMSI. A fireball is a particularly bright meteor that can be seen from a distance of about 60 to 80 miles above. According to the American Meteor Society, people from Portland to Snohomish, Washington reported the sighting. K2 viewer Jason.
They also go on to remind us that there's no meteor shower currently taking place, so I guess they're trying to tell us they don't know why it appeared. But on the exact same day as the sighting in Oregon, this happened.
Right. Did you see it or did you even hear it?
Clear skies last night made for a second amazing sight over Northwest Ohio. It was another meteor overhead.
Laura Sandlin joins us live this morning. Laura, it wasn't just Ohio that actually got to see this.
Yeah, Heather, Sophia, the fireball was spotted just after 9:30 last night and was visible from over half a dozen states. Now, video shown here captured the meteor streaking across the sky just over Van Loo, Ohio. Just 5 days ago, another meteor captured the attention of the nation after it fragmented across Medina County. According to Michael Cushing, a professor at the University of Toledo, Earth often has small rocks and pieces of dust that enter the atmosphere every day, but they burn up in the atmosphere, often without people ever knowing. Cushing says when a meteor is of a significant size, such as the one seen over Cleveland, often people will hear a boom due to its supersonic speed as it enters the atmosphere. He says meteors of a significant size enter Earth's atmosphere a handful of times each year, but it's usually unlikely that it'll be in a visible and populated area.
That's how you know something odd or unusual is going on when news and media, who never gives us the truth up front, says that it happens, but yeah, the only time we see these quote-unquote meteors in great abundance is when they tell us that there's a meteor shower going on like the Perseids, but that generally happens in the summer, and the Geminid, which supposedly happens in the winter. And as they say, there's currently no meteor shower taking place here, so again, what's going on? Another excuse going around where people are saying we're seeing them more often because there are security cameras out and about and people have phones. But we've had phones and security cameras for quite some time now. But here's where things get a little bit more bizarre, because NASA, the most trustworthy organization on Earth, who's not money laundering one bit and would never lie to us, and of course, again, I'm being sarcastic, they gave a code name to these events that happen in Ohio and Texas for whatever reason, when they normally do not. For whatever reason, NASA dubbed the March 2026 fireball events in Ohio and Texas as Chicken Little, a nod to the sky is falling. So that is indeed very weird and telling. So these quote-unquote meteors have been seen so often that this website right here, the Sentinel Network, had compiled a timeline which they are saying nobody has compiled. I will go ahead and leave this link below, but it should also be noted that this list also does not include the meteors that happened on the 22nd or the 23rd. They also go on to say that all of the meteors that they compiled in March were sporadic, meaning an independent object on its own orbit, not associated with any known meteor shower or debris stream. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and cover all of these because some of these we're aware of, but for example, the one that took place in Louisiana, I did not know happened. The website goes on to say, on March 2nd, a fireball crosses Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, and Arkansas at 30,000 miles per hour, which 30,000 miles per hour is considered very slow for a fireball. NASA confirms entry at 48 miles altitude above Chickasaw, Louisiana, disintegrates after traveling 41 miles. NASA explicitly states this meteor was not associated with any currently active meteor shower, sporadic. There was also a meteor that happened on March 8th called the Koblenz meteor, which they said crashed into a residential building. But before that, on March 4th in Central Europe, 62 AMS reports for a fireball over Switzerland, France, Germany, and Italy. What is interesting when it came to the meteor seen in Germany on March 8th when it crashed into the residential building, an investigation was done, police ruled out a rocket strike, the ESA's planetary defense team did their own investigation and their assessment, the object was a few meters in diameter, a size class that, in their own language, impacts Earth infrequently and is often undetected by current sky surveys. The website quotes that phrase saying, undetected by current sky surveys, remember that phrase, it comes back. March 11th is even more interesting because there were two events on the same night in different continents. Event A, 113 AMS reports, the AMS is the American Meteor Society, across 12 U.S. states and D.C. Event B, 235 AMS reports over France, England, the Netherlands, and Germany, two independent objects, same night, opposite sides of the Atlantic. And again, no connections to one another, no connections to any meteor shower. March 13th, U.S. East Coast, 57 AMS reports across 8 states from Delaware to West Virginia. Now, the one that happened in Turkey on March 15th was even more bizarre. They said that this one was not common. It was very rare because of how slow it was moving. It was visible for more than 20 seconds. Now, the excuse that scientists gave as to why it was seen so long was because it was bouncing off the atmosphere and back into space. What? We should all be aware by now about this quote-unquote 7-ton asteroid that was seen in Ohio on March 17th that NASA dubbed Chicken Little. But did you know the same night, March 15th, when the slow-moving meteor was seen in Turkey, there was also another meteor event that took place in Ohio. In Pinkerton, Ohio, this goes on to say, same night, different continent, a fireball with an audible sonic boom caught on a doorbell camera outside Columbus, dozens of social media reports. This is what people over in Ohio seen and heard. Again, we're aware of the one that took place on March 17th in Ohio, the 7-ton one, but the website interestingly says that the meteorite fragments confirmed on the ground, first recovery a 10-gram achondrite, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, with a glassy black fusion crust found by Roberto Vargas in Medina County on March 18th, tentatively classified as eucrite, and they also go on to say, we will come back to that word, it changes the origin story, so I guess they're saying that somebody is lying somewhere. The last one on this list is the 1-ton one that took place on March 21st in Houston, Texas, but it also oddly misses out the ones that took place on March 17th in Texas, which news and media did confirm it was a meteor, but they also go on to say that it had very strange movement. Movement not associated with any known meteor. And also this list leaves out the ones that were seen around the same time in California as well. This website does try to add some normalcy to this. It goes on to say that here is the question we know you are asking. Is this actually abnormal or are doorbell cameras making it feel this way? They ran the math, they add some statistics, some numbers, and they say that both answers contain truth. The website goes on to say that fireballs happen, they happen a lot. But meteorite-producing fireballs, events where fragments survive the atmosphere and reach the ground, happen roughly 5 to 10 times per year globally. We have had 3 in 13 days. 2 of those struck occupied structures. The probability of a meteorite hitting a house in any given fall is so small that insurance companies do not calculate it. 2 residential structure impacts in 13 days on separate continents is not a camera bias. We've had Ring cameras and other cameras as of 2024 and 2025. Matter of fact, as of 2026, one would think that Ring cameras are less popular given the whole Amazon Flock partnership that came out. But this gets even more interesting. The site continues to say a local Ohio astronomer who runs the only AMS camera station in the state told Signal Cleveland that a daytime visible fireball with a sonic boom is probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing. 4 days later, Houston got one too. But these sonic booms associated with these quote-unquote fireballs or meteors have been happening a lot lately. Matter of fact, there could be even more meteors that we're not being told about as of March, because this says right here, the AMS Fireball Report Index has grown from 130 pages to 135 pages in 5 days. They are currently investigating 57 pending reports from 18 countries and U.S. states, including new filings from Brazil, Morocco, Estonia, and Ireland. The pipeline is not slowing down. They end with their assessment that the frequency of fireball events in March 2026 may fall within the upper range of natural statistical variation, amplified by improved detection infrastructure, the cameras. The severity concentration is a different question entirely. 3 meteorite falls, 3 structural impacts, 2 metropolitan airbursts, 20 days, no shower. You cannot observe a meteorite through a kitchen ceiling. It either fell or it did not. 3 fell. So basically what they're saying is that something very unusual is taking place. When it comes to why they believe the word eucrite is such a big deal that pretty much stopped them in their tracks, because they believe that all these fragments are likely coming from Vesta, a protoplanet that differentiated 4.5 billion years ago. Now that's what they're saying. I have a different take when it comes to all this. The website ends with 11 events, 20 days, 3 roofs we counted. And again, this doesn't include the previous events that happened in the past couple days as well. Reading this news article right here and talking about 2025, comparing it to 2026, in total, 7 meteors were tracked across the U.S. in the entirety of 2025, and at least 3 of them produced meteorites, according to NASA. Comparing that number to just March 2026 alone is crazy. But we were told something like this would happen when it came to Wernher von Braun, his assistant Carol Rosen. She said that first there would be the conflicts with these countries of interest, then there would be the asteroids, and then next will be the final card, the aliens. And just look at the timeline of things going on today. We're in a conflict with a country of interest, and we have all these meteors and asteroids in the skies. And this is happening all around the same time as this alien disclosure. The timeline is really adding up to what they said it was going to be. And interestingly enough, this is happening around the same time as we get closer to the 2030 One World Government agenda. That is how I determine something to be suspicious, when the timeline really starts to come together and add up.
Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids, and then he would repeat to me over and over, and the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat.
The AP asked the American Meteor Society, why are there so many meteors being seen lately? And the response was the same. The increased cameras, like phones and security cameras, has led to increased visibility, and that's the answer. But with that being said, let's go ahead and see what other people are talking about.
All right, I'm going to tell you a truly wild story. It starts in this Los Angeles family court. There are these clerks that work there, and they notice something crazy. They're looking through these things called parentage petitions. And these are petitions where if you're going to have a baby via a surrogate, you need to go to the court and say, hey, listen, I'm going to have this baby via a surrogate. I need a legal documentation that proves that this child is mine and that I can take this child home. So these clerks were looking through all these applications, and they started noticing that one man's name kept appearing again and again and again on these applications, and that he was applying for parentage rights for 4 children at the same time via 4 different surrogates. And they started looking into this guy a little bit, and they realized that he had 8 other babies via surrogate, and they're like, what the heck is going on here? And so it turns out that what is going on is that because there are no regulations around surrogacy in the U.S. at all, there are rich people, many of them coming from China, and they are using the U.S. surrogacy industry, because the U.S. is one of the few places in the world actually where surrogacy is legal, and they are using this system to have, I'm not even kidding you, dozens, or in some cases, more than 100 babies. We've just done this investigation into the fertility industry. We've got several episodes that are in the journal feed right now. This one is out right now. It's called One Dad, 100 Babies. And I'm telling you, this will blow your mind. You should check it out and let me know what you think.
That video came from Ryan Knutson1, and this is absolutely horrifying. And the question happens to be, what's happening to all these kids? We can have a few theories as to what's happening, and some make a lot of sense. And at the end of the day, again, it's absolutely horrifying and sad. This next video comes from a channel I like a lot, Glamham 2.0 or Glamham Radio, and it would seem like Bouvet Island has an anomaly again.
Hey, it's Glamham. Does Bouvet Island have a visitor? And we weren't invited. If we travel 63 miles northwest of Bouvet, we find this perfectly natural right-angled cloud. I'm sure it's just an atmospheric phenomenon. Now, let's behave. And it measures over 200 square miles. But I'm sure that's just how clouds are made these days. I mean, it must be a lot to be a cloud. The little island's only 49 square miles, so I hope they've prepared a good parking spot. Let me know what you think about perfectly natural right-angled cloud, and I'll see you in the comments. Take care.
It's good to talk about Bouvet Island again. That was definitely a very wild time, but something tells me something is still going on over in that island like it was in 2024. It's just that these weather apps now, these weather radars, have now updated to hide whatever is going on there. But Glamham has definitely been keeping an eye on what's taking place over there.
With all the talk of bioengineered ingredients in a lot of the products that we consume on a daily basis, if Willy Wonka was around and saw what I'm about to show you next, he would lose his mind. And why do I say that? Because a woman purchased a Hershey chocolate candy bar. You know, the basic milk chocolate candy bar that you can break up the squares. But she noticed something really strange about the candy once she opened it. Take a look at this. Look at this.
Guys, I don't think chocolate's supposed to look like this. Why is it so, like, elasticy?
What the hell is that?
I'm gonna bend it.
Look at this.
Look at that. It's like slime. This is real chocolate. No, this is fake real chocolate, bro. It's like poop, bro. This is literally like slime, bro. Look, I'm literally peeling it.
That right there is straight up nasty. And I know some of you might be saying, well, maybe she heated it up and it looks like rubber. Why would that look like rubber and act like rubber? What the hell is going on with our food supply? And if you recall this recently, the grandson of Reese's founder accused Hershey of lowering the quality by switching the recipe with cheaper ingredients. So my question to you is, do you think that that is what happened here? Because that does not seem like the candy bars I purchased years ago when I was younger and enjoyed. Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments, and as always, I'd love to hear from you.
That video came from the Jody69, and it's so difficult eating any type of foods these days, especially from the American food supply. But these candy bars, these chocolate bars, they are anything but food. It reminds me of that Illuminati card game card, Frankenfoods. It's just an assortment mess with anything but something natural inside of it. No, thank you.
Quick little story about four or five days ago, there was a 7-year-old that went missing down here at this lake that I'm walking to. No one has seen him, heard from him, or anything until last night. Now, mind you, this is a good 2-mile lake, surrounds our entire neighborhood and everything. It's pretty large. And so it was a bunch of kids playing down here right at this dock I'm standing on right now. And sorry for the geese. And from what I've been told, it was like 4 or 5 kids. They were playing out here, going fishing and everything. And the kid fell in about right here. Now, if you look down at the bottom, you can barely see. But this is only about 3 or 4 feet deep at the maximum. Like the 3 or 4 kids were waiting for him to pop up in just a second. I mean, you can back a trailer or a boat right here. I mean, this is such shallow water. But he didn't come back up. And they waited for about 30 seconds, and apparently one or two of them jumped right in, and they couldn't feel them, they couldn't find them. So again, this is all allegedly. So about a minute or so goes by, and all the kids are in the water, jumping in, looking for him and everything, and none of them can find him. It's like he completely vanished. It's like he was wiped off the face of the earth. So they apparently ran back to one of the houses of the kids. They don't live too far from the pond. So basically, the kid now has been gone for about 5 minutes, right? Because they left. And you got to think, 5 minutes, if you are underwater, let common sense here, right? They do a whole search thing. Everyone's in here. Boats are in the water. This kid is gone. Gone. It makes no sense whatsoever. There's maybe some branches and some things you can get tied up on in there, but no, gone. Gone. So as I said in the beginning, 4 or 5 days go by, which would have been last night, the craziest out of this world thing happened. Now, can my mind wrap around this and just logically think that this could possibly happen? You know, I've read about things like this maybe on the internet or heard about it on Reddit and stories like this. But this one, now that I can hear it and it's close and it hits home, it just doesn't make sense. They found this young boy 120 miles away from here on somebody's front porch in the middle of last night asking for help. And again, allegedly. Now, make your own assumptions. Does that make sense? Absolutely not. Can I fathom that? No. But what are you talking about? What are you talking about, man? I'm glad he's safe, but no one can figure out what the hell just happened. What do you think?
That video came from the Yan Files, and I'm very curious about this story because we have been hearing multiple news stories of people disappearing or teleporting, like that FEMA official saying he teleported to the Waffle House. So I would definitely like an update to this story. I looked all in the news. I cannot find anything about this story, which really has me questioning the story. So if anybody knows anything about a kid who fell in the waters and he was missing 4 or 5 days, and he happened to show up 120 miles somewhere else, please do go ahead and link that news article below, because again, I can't find anything, and one would think that this type of story would be all in the news.
One of the scariest places in the world. It could be why is Appalachia one of the scariest places in the world? It could be because it's sitting on one of the biggest cave systems in the entire planet. Tennessee alone has more than 10,000 known caves. Kentucky has more than 3,000 miles of known cave system and thousands more of unknown cave system. If you guys didn't know that, just watch the movie The Descent, and you'll never want to go hiking around those areas on your own ever again. Okay, now, not only are these cave systems massive, if you take a list of missing people in the United States that have never been found, and you lay it over the maps of the cave systems that we know of, it matches almost perfectly. It literally just looks like it's the same map. These people, are they being taken by something in these caves? Are they accidentally falling into these caves? One thing can be for sure is if you watch the Missing 411, people go missing in these weird, mysterious ways in national parks all the time. But what makes the Appalachia area so special? And I think it might be to do with the limestones, not just the caves, but what's in those cave walls? What are those rocks? They're all limestone. Every area in the world that has tons of limestones also has spikes of myths, legends, folklore, ghost sightings, Bigfoot experiences. It is a weirdly high spike of limestone deposits equal paranormal activity spiking. And a lot of people have a theory on this. It's called the stone tape theory. And it's that if you look at the magnetic fields and the different like energies that different rocks and, you know, everything gives off, energies and fields and things like that, limestones might have something to do with like holding in this power somehow. Or if you believe in the stone tape theory, it might be recording things. And that's what ghosts are. Ghosts are just like almost like snapshots in times that these like rocks are essentially storing energy. And then sometimes that energy gets released and we see apparitions or ghosts or, you know, what have you. I'm someone who has been to the Bellwitch farm and gone down into the Bellwitch cave where she supposedly practiced her magic and lived. And guess what that cave is? It's a limestone cave. There are giant limestone rocks sticking up out of the ground all over the Bell Plantation. They're all over the place. In fact, part of their house is made with a limestone slab floor. It is truly, if those things have the abilities to house things or to be tapped into power-wise, it would make sense that the Bell Witch wanted to call that place her home. But limestone in general has always been believed to house these supernatural entities or elements. And that's when you get into the Fae and everything else they talk about in these boulder fields. If you guys want to look at something really creepy, look at how many people go missing in the middle of boulder fields for no reason whatsoever. What's in these rocks? What are in these, you know, big rocky areas that people just disappear off the face of the earth? Not only that, areas that have big limestone deposits also have extreme weather changes for no reason. This goes back to the Missing 411 again. Tons of these people that go missing for no reason, there is a strange weather anomaly that was never predicted, like a pop-up thunderstorm or a pop-up windstorm, or in some extreme cases, it dropped 20 degrees and snowed real fast for a few hours and stopped. And then, you know, it would be one thing if these people succumbed to the elements or got killed in the storm. but we just never find them. They're just gone. It's like that storm literally just took them away. And those storms seem to happen randomly like this over these massive multi-mile long deposits of limestone. So is that a link to another world? Why is that?
That great video came from Nomad's Animal Encounters. And yeah, The Descent is definitely a great movie. It's a very underrated movie talking about the cave systems and things that could be lurking within them. But it's definitely eerie connecting the dots between how many people go missing and these cave systems within the United States. There are so many things that lurk not only in these caves but beneath the waters that we are just not aware of. But in any case, thank you so much for watching. If you like this channel and you want to see more, please subscribe. If you're already subscribed, please like, as any engagement does help the channel grow. Once again, thank you so much for your support.